always great when we can talk with Charles Davis from the NFL on Fox. Charles, it's Grant and Doug. How are you?
I'm doing well, gentlemen. How are you tonight?
Well, you know what, Charles? I got to tell you, I just arrived in Cleveland. I'm doing the show from Cleveland today, and every time I come to Cleveland now, I got to think about your story at Toot Shores in New York with the steak. You know what I'm saying? That's the first, Charles, that's the first thing that comes to my mind when I land in Cleveland.
Well, you know, I think I read it in, where did I read? I read another Cleveland one in, I think it was Ball 4 with Jim Bowden. Jim,
right.
He wrote that book, which was the expose of baseball at the time. And then when you go back and reread it, you're like, this is pretty tame. But at the time, it blew the doors off the whole establishment. And I remember him mentioning that someone said, well, if you're going to die on a Cleveland flight, better it be an inbound than an outbound.
Oh, my gosh. Unbelievable. For the folks that don't know what we're talking about, Charles came on with us a couple of years ago when I was doing the show in Cleveland. And Charles asked me, how am I doing? And I said, what do you mean how I'm doing? I told you I'm in Cleveland. And then Charles started telling the story about Toot Shores, a famous sports bar restaurant in New York right across from Madison Square Garden. And somebody was complaining about their price of the steak. And Charles said, Toot Shores comes over. He starts talking to the patron. And he said, hey, I'm from Cleveland. You know, this steak in Cleveland costs $15 less. And the guy goes, well, sir, that may be true. But when you're done with your steak in Cleveland, you're still in Cleveland.
I mean, could you imagine?
All time.
And, for those who don't know Toot Shores, if you look him up, Google him, and read about him, and there's actually a documentary about Toots and his life that I think HBO or Showtime showed not terribly long ago that I got to watch, which was terrific. And, you know, I mean, those types of people and those types of establishments, it's not the same today.
Yeah.
All right. Those were the CNBC spots, and yeah, those all exist. But the people who run them, they were Damon Runyon characters, and Toots was certainly a Damon Runyon character. You know, I mean, the way that he did it and how it went, and all that, and you never really knew what was going on behind the scenes. But everyone knew Toots, and Toots knew everyone. And if you didn't know Toots, you weren't getting a table. But if you did, and you were one of the chosen ones, you were good at that place all the time. But that's one of the famous stories about him. Yes, sir. Well, I agree. The steak would be $15 cheaper. But when you finish it, you'd still be in good.
Good stuff, Charles. Last night, the jewel of the NFL, Monday Night Football, Cincinnati-Pittsburgh, 20 penalties, 4 unnecessary roughness, 1 unsportsmanlike conduct, 240 yards, 3 crazy hits. The last one, maybe the most egregious. Your take, I kind of went to Grant and I said that this might be, I don't want to say good for the NFL, but it might make them draw a line in the sand about hitting in the head and a lot of different things. Your take on that?
They're trying their best to draw that line, but when you have teams like Pittsburgh and Cincinnati who are naturally physical teams, you're going to have that line crossed when people play without a lot of poise as well. The Juju Smith-Schuster hit was a clean, legitimate block that he actually tried to be in the right strike zone, but ended up getting his head involved a little bit, and that, you know, naturally was flagged. The second part was, of course, when he stood over him and taunted him. Now, you guys know the history of Vontaze Burfict. So anytime Vontaze Burfict is knocked on his wallet, there's going to be a lot of chortling, okay? And actually, you probably heard the post-game interview where you heard Antonio Brown in the background when they talked about Vontaze Burfict being carried off. So, and you kept hearing him talk about karma.
Yeah,
right.
Karma.
Yep.
Karma. Because you remember, Burfict was one who hit Antonio Brown in the head in the playoff game and helped cost Cincinnati a playoff win.
Absolutely.
Because at the end of the day, Vontaze Burfict will always screw it up. All right? And I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm going to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to sit here and say, well, he's this and he's that, because I know people in that Cincinnati organization that right now, if they heard my voice, they'd want to fight me because they really have an affection for him. And I've had one coach tell me in no uncertain terms, they'd love to have Vontaze could watch my kids. He could do this. And I always say, yeah, that's true for you, but I'm watching as an outside observer. And who caused the penalties that cost you the playoff game? Who gets suspended year in and year out? Who are we always talking about possibly kicking a guy when he's down? it was no accident, as far as I'm concerned, that it was Vontaze Burfict and Adam Jones mm-hmm. in that playoff game. Okay? You can say this guy's reformed, this guy's that, but when it's repetitive behavior over time, come on. And Vontaze, you can go all the way back to college with it. Go back and Google Vontaze Burfict USC. I believe it was Matt Barkley that he had a major incident with a very questionable hit and extracurriculars. He got kicked off the team his last year at Arizona State by Dennis Erickson. Does anyone understand how hard it is to get kicked off a team by Dennis Erickson?
Yeah. He was at the U.
I mean, do you realize what it takes to get kicked off by Coach Erickson?
Boy, okay. No kidding.
So all I'm saying is, and I'm not trying to just, you know, pile on or anything like that, for them and the Steelers, like Mike Tomlin came down Juju Smith-Schuster and said, look, you need more maturity. You can't stand over a guy and taunt him like that. But I know privately behind closed doors, it was Vontaze. And that's going to happen. And what ends up happening is sometimes he actually gets you to commit a penalty you shouldn't commit. But all in all, when you look at it over the years, who has Vontaze hurt more? He's hurt his own team more.
No doubt.
That's my two cents, and I think I'm in pretty good shape on that one.
Well, Charles, I'm happy for you because you're doing the Giants and Cowboys on Sunday, and I told Doug on Wednesday that I thought if Ben McAdoo had still been the coach of the Giants, which I didn't think was going to happen, that you would have had 60,000 no-shows at MetLife Stadium on Sunday. So I don't think you have to worry about that anymore.
And Doug, I don't think he's exaggerating either. I really don't. I mean, you know, naturally, there's a certain number, and it's like Austin Powers, $1 billion.
Yes,
you know, that's what but what you would have had at the stadium would have been just an atmosphere we weren't looking forward to. There would have been the protests about Eli. There would have been, obviously, if Brent McAdoo's still the head coach, why is he still here? Jerry Reese is the GM. I mean, Grant can tell you about when they flew, was it 78, Grant?
Yep.
Where the banner flew, it said 15 years of lousy football, we've had enough.
Woo.
That the fans paid for and flew over the stadium. Well, you can't do that now because there's a 9/11 in the airspace. Okay, they might shoot that bad boy down.
True.
Legitimately happened. Yeah. And you know, the Giants had gone through a horrible period of time where they weren't winning games, and the fans, they finally let them know. Well, it's so interesting is that Eli's not had a banner year by any stretch. You can ask him and the whole deal. Of course, getting hit upside the head every time he goes back to pass does not help. But this has actually turned him into the most sympathetic figure for the Giants, and probably more than he ever even imagined. And I think there was an article I read today in my homework where Eli talked about, this validated for me what I've tried to be all these years, which is a good teammate. And what he meant by that is he has heard from so many people, ex-teammates, people outside the organization, you know, the whole thing. He's tried to be a good teammate, a good representative of the league, a good person. And these people have all been talking to him about the whole thing. I think Jay Glazer from my group at Fox, you guys may have heard this, said last week on air that there was a big conversation about ex-Giants going to this game, the Dallas game, prior to McAdoo being fired, wearing Eli jerseys and being present and accounted for.
Wow. That's unbelievable. So do you get a chance?
A lot about what's going on there. I don't know that that'll happen now that Ben McAdoo and Jerry Reese have been fired, Spagnuolo's taken over, and from all I'm hearing, Eli's going to start on Sunday.
Are the quarterbacks made available to you every week in production meetings? You'll talk to Eli. Okay.
I haven't had one. I can't remember last.
Okay.
You know.
So you'll get a chance to talk to Eli. Yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. We'll see Eli, and that's, you know, that's going to be interesting. I think the thing for everyone is, it's real simple, Doug. If you're going to take someone's job like an Eli Manning, right? And let's say you were playing, okay? And you're a vested veteran and a valuable member of the whole deal. And the coach comes to you and says, listen, Doug, we haven't played well all year. We're going to take a look at, you know, Stonewall Jones, who's been in the league 7 years,
right,
averaged 2.3 points, 1.2 rebounds, whatever. We're going to let him play and see what he's got. You'd be like, we know what Stonewall's got.
Yep.
Okay? Nothing. So you're not taking me out for him. Hey, Doug, we need to sit you down because, you know, that guy we drafted, we need to see him play these last 30 games.
Okay.
All right, he was our number one pick. We got to see what he's got. We got to sit you down. That's a different conversation.
Absolutely.
Right? So when you come to Eli Manning and say, listen, we're going to sit you down, or as Ben McAdoo ham-handedly handled it, you know, Eli, we're going to let you play like a half, and then we're going to bring in Geno. And, well, I'm not going to do that.
Right.
Okay? And now Mr. Mara has said what the message was supposed to be communicated was, if you're playing well, you would stay in. If you're not playing so well, we might look at replacing you. I think it was a different message, and Eli would have been on board for that. But the idea, you say, we're going to take a look at Geno Smith. Well, what tape have you not seen yet?
Yeah.
If you said Davis Webb, that's an entirely different conversation. Who, by the way, even after all that happened last week, Davis Webb was inactive for the 12th straight week.
Yeah.
So I don't know what they were thinking. It made no sense whatsoever. I'm not here to defend Eli just because he's, you know, the first family of football.
Right.
But if you're going to sit down a guy like Eli Manning, have a real plan, not a half-baked one.
Well, tell me then what the Giants' plan is going forward. Give me two names, one for GM and one for coach that you might be thinking might be on their radar.
Well, the GM part is going to be very interesting because from within, Kevin Abrams has been named the interim general manager, and they said he will have a chance to interview for the job.
Okay.
There's also Chris Mara. Now, he is a director of player personnel for them who would love to be a GM, but I think that even with everything swirling around, all the Maras and the Tishes have said that's just way too much family and pretty much have said he's ruled out.
Okay.
So now you're going to have – are you going for the hot young GM that's out there? Are you going for an Elliot Wolf who's in Green Bay right now, who's the son of Ron Wolf? Are you going to go for an established guy who's done it before? Could a Scott Pioli be back in play now? Because if you're looking for another coach, Josh McDaniels is going to be a hot name again that's going to come up. Pioli McDaniels from the New England days might be a nice pairing. You know, it might be one that you would look at and grasp onto. What about Dave Gettleman, who came out of the Giants organization and was the finalist for the job that Jerry Reese got? Ernie Accorsi, when he retired, he appointed Jerry Reese ahead of Dave Gettleman. Gettleman just lost his job in Carolina, 2 years removed from a Super Bowl. It seemed kind of strange. So that would be another one. But you'll hear other names. One name you'll always hear is Eric DaCosta from
right.
Baltimore, who's number two to Ozzie Newsome. Eric has had numerous opportunities to interview, to move. Never has. So I'm skeptical that he's going to make that move again, especially since Baltimore's back having success.
Good point.
A number of different places they'll go there, Doug. The coaching thing, you'll hear all the usual names, but I'm just telling you, with the Giants, you never know because they have no straight type of what they're going to go get. They've made as many brilliant decisions with coaches, Parcells, right?
Yep.
As they have with Ray Handley. So.
Hey, listen, don't – you know what? I'm already in Cleveland. Don't ruin my day anymore, okay? You're killing me bringing up Ray Hanley's name. Don't do that to me.
My bad on that one.
Boy.
But you know, there's no heir apparent on the staff because you don't really have that cachet with Spags no matter what happens down the stretch. Spags was 10-38 with the Rams.
Not happening.
He's the D coordinator that's really – and they've struggled again this season. After last season being brilliant, remember they were like third in the league last year
right.
in defense. And the wheels came off. And they've had a lot of injuries. Instead. I love Spags, but I just can't see him getting this job. It's gonna have to be someone else. And we'll just see what direction. But they want to do it traditionally, Doug. They want the GM in place first to hire the head coach. And,
right.
of course, he's been brought in as a consultant to help lead the charge.
Hey, Charles, 2 weeks ago, before you were heading to Minneapolis to do the Rams and the Vikings, we were discussing Teddy Bridgewater because he had been in the news. And, well, you just saw the Vikings again. And they and guess what? We won't be hearing Teddy Bridgewater's name anytime soon this year, will we?
No, we really won't. And I will tell you this. This is going to sound like it's self-congratulatory. But you guys understand, and I hope that it comes off the right way, but I have to share this with you. Before we had our meeting last week with Minnesota and with Case Keenum, we got together as our group, okay, our broadcasting team, producer, director, whatever, and we said collectively, you know something? Let's give this young man his due. When we go in and have this meeting, let's not allude to Teddy Bridgewater. Let's not talk about Teddy Bridgewater. Let's not ask him about Teddy Bridgewater. Let's talk to him like we would talk to Tom Brady.
There you go.
All focus on Case Keenum because he's earned it and deserved it. And, you know, I hope when people hear me say that, it's not like, oh, wow, look what we did. That's not it at all. It's just a recognition that that young man deserved that respect that any great starting quarterback should have. Because you know what the Atlanta side told us? if you plug in the tapes of watching him and you didn't know that it was Case Keenum and you didn't know the number and it was nameless, faceless, you would walk away saying, hey, guys, we're getting ready for an elite QB this week.
Yeah.
And guess what? In our game, second half, 13 for 13 in the second half. Oh, wow. And it wasn't just play it safe second half. They let him throw the ball in key third down situations. And he was money.
Yes, he was.
He is moving around and doing all the things you would expect out of a starter. And I guess for us, it was just like that was our way of giving him his respect that he deserves. We hope that he kind of caught that along the way because we did not say anything to him. We hope he walked away and went, no one said a thing about Teddy. That's kind of cool because he deserves it. And one other thing, the Pro Bowl, because he deserves to be in the Pro Bowl in so many ways. But there's an adage in the league, and I don't know what it's like in the NBA, Doug, but in the NFL, the adage is you make your first Pro Bowl usually a year after you should have, and you make your last Pro Bowl 1 year longer than you should have.
Right.
Because once you get on the list, you kind of stay there for a while, right?
Yeah.
Well, here's Keenum, who's never even sniffed one, right? Now it's NFC, AFC again. Carson Wentz has to be a lock.
Yep.
Three spots, right? So Wentz is a lock. I'd have to say Russell Wilson's a lock.
Yep.
Out of Seattle.
No question.
Who's the third quarterback?
There you go.
Okay. Well, Keenum has every reason to believe he should be the third. But you know something? Drew Brees is having another Drew Brees year.
Yep.
And record-wise, they're better.
Yeah.
So now that you got to discuss that. Matt Ryan is just coming off of an MVP season. And listen, when guys vote, they're not spending a lot of time agonizing over it. Okay, they're like, oh, I got to turn my vote in. Yeah, Matty Ice. And that's why it's a year after you should. It takes a little longer to get their attention. So I'm wondering if he's going to capitalize on this season and get voted in as the third guy, or will he have to wait and have to do it again because guys are used to Drew Brees going every year. It's going to be a tough one for him.
You brought up Carson Wentz facing golf this weekend. I think the Seahawks may have fell into something because if the Eagles beat the Seahawks, they probably go to the Rams. They live it up in L.A., and it happens the way it's supposed to happen. Now they're going to be locked in on the Rams, and this is going to be an interesting game, which kind of plays right into the Seahawks' hands. How do you see Eagles-Rams this week?
Well, I think that the Eagles-Rams are going to be a fun one, Doug. And the Eagles made the decision prior to that they're going to stay out West Coast and prepare. I think they're staying in Anaheim and going to train
at
Angel Stadium, et cetera, et cetera. Look, the Eagles, that was a major setup they walked into on Sunday night, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Seattle had to have it, that major crowd. They've on a great win streak. And I don't care who you are, when you know you have some flexibility and some room to play with, there's a difference of how you play.
Right.
Did the Eagles want to win the game? Of course they did. Was there the desperation to win it? Not like Seattle had, because Seattle had to keep pace with the Rams. They can't let the Rams get two up on them, because if they're within one game, remember, they hold the tiebreaker.
Right.
They're head-to-head. So one game back to them means even, as far as they're concerned.
Sure.
And they play in 2 weeks. So I think that this game is going to be a lot of fun, because the Eagles, they want to get back on the beam, but they don't want to let everything get away. And they're going to feel like, and not rightly so, they let some opportunities get away. If Wentz scores on that touchdown, doesn't bounce out of his hand, we might have a different game.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So many spots in that game you can look at and go, okay. And you know what's really good for Doug Peterson and his crew? We really didn't play our best game, and we're still right there, guys, on a team that absolutely had to have it. So we're going to be okay, but let's not let this snowball and let one turn into two. But this is a Rams team that we saw that's resilient, too. They got off the deck after Minnesota got them and beat New Orleans at home in a really nice, tough physical affair. So we've got some fun coming up, because next week Seattle hosts the Rams. First place is likely going to be on the line in the NFC West.
Oh, boy.
And I'll let you in on a secret. Guess who gets to go see that game?
Yes, good old Charles Davis and Kevin Burkhart will be up in Seattle. Oh, yes. Hey, final.
I'm a little excited about that.
Yeah, you know what? You should be. Final thing, as we talk with Charles Davis on the NFL on Fox. As an alum of Tennessee, take me through what it must be like watching what's gone on with that program the last few weeks. You just said
that was everything, Grant.
There you go, right there. Your exhale told us everything we need to know.
It's really difficult to watch a program that normally functions well and knows what to do look like a cross between Barney Fife and Inspector Clouseau.
Oof. That's how I feel about the Giants, Charles.
You know, it's just bumbling. What the heck? And the worst part is, you know, I feel horrible for John Curry and his family because I was a big advocate for him being the AD there. So I do have the human thoughts, and I feel horrible for them. Think about holiday season, and now you get to tell your kids,
yeah,
a job you took April 1, you no longer have.
Wow.
Now, the contract he has is actually pretty good, guys. It's way better than I thought. But it's still a professional thing, and yes, money doesn't – it doesn't heal all wounds.
Right.
It'll help his family, but professionally, that's a major tough one for him. I'm a fan of his in so many ways, but I can't defend what went on, so I understand why they made the move. And this is where Phil Fulmer steps in. He's got to calm the waters and find us a coach to lead us first to respectability and then back to being what we're supposed to, which is competing for championships. And I'll end with this. My father-in-law was saying to my wife, and she said he really had a lot of pity in his voice. Like, oh, and he's a big Oklahoma guy. Okay, so here's where he's coming from. Oh, such a proud program like Tennessee. What's going on? And just like, look, let's face it, we all hate pity more than anything, right? Because pity feels like they're kind of like looking down at you. And I said, well, I'm so glad he didn't say that to me. I love my father-in-law dearly. He's one of the finest men I know. But I would have said, hey, you know, after Switzer left Oklahoma, how was that time frame? How'd you enjoy the Gary Gibbs, Howard Schnellenberger, John Blake trifecta?
Oh, boy.
Everybody goes through it in one form or another. Alabama's riding high now. After Bear Bryant passed away, Ray Perkins didn't win any championships. Okay? Mike DuBose won one SEC and then was bumbling through there. Mike Shula, who I consider a dear friend, so I hated that for him, but he couldn't win a championship there because it's a hard place to do it. But if you have the right person at the right programs, they get good in a hurry. Oklahoma was stumbling. Bob Stoops took over, the right guy. They got good in a hurry. I think we can do the same thing if we get the right person, but you got to have him. And if you don't have him, I don't care who you are. Look at Florida. I mean, we can go right on down the line. Look at what Michigan was searching for when they brought in Harbaugh. You've got to have that right person at the helm. And right now we obviously do not, and we're having trouble getting people to want to be the right person at the helm.
Charles, you're the best. You know what? I can't wait to talk to you about what it's going to be like at MetLife Stadium this week and what could have been. A lot to play for, although the Cowboys, it's a big game for them. They're still fighting. They still have life, so it is a big game for them.
They're still in it.
Yep.
And someone from the Giants told me today, yeah, we may be in the doldrums, but we're still playing the Cowboys. That still means something.
Oh, yeah. It always does. Charles, be well. Thanks very much.
You guys, too. Enjoy your time there, DeGrant. And Doug, I'll talk to you later.
You got it.
Yeah, I'll enjoy my time as soon as I get on the airplane outbound. All right. Good stuff from Charles Davis, the NFL on Fox.